Blood work. Knowledge is power, but only if you seek it.
Transmitter 42.
Welcome again to Transmitter 42, where we have Kimberly Huggins, who highlights a problem with healthcare consumers not getting the tests they need to understand the real situation with their health, potentially leaving problems festering to cause health issues later in life. Drawing on extensive personal experience, she brings us up to speed on the tools necessary to get ahead of the medical self-awareness game to help make the most of the rest of your life. Let's all welcome Kimberly Huggins. Hi, Kimberly.
Hi, everybody.
Thanks for showing up and telling us all about what we need to know about making the most of the tools that we have available to us. So why the interest in blood work? Aren't these tests routine these days? What am I missing?
Oh, such a opening a can of worms, I guess I would say. I think most people maybe need to understand that everything you need to know about your health can be found in your blood work, but only if you are looking at the right numbers, only if you're looking at certain tests, or only if you are aware of correct ranges for certain tests that you're given. So there's kind of a lot to unpack there in that enchilada.
Well, before we do the unpacking later in the show, let's tell us your story and how it's helped you become aware and improve your life.
Well, I think for most people, if you become interested in getting healthy, which unfortunately we all need to do earlier than we end up doing. Most of us don't start getting serious about our health until something goes wrong. And we're kind of forced to. But there's a lot of signs before that, I would say. Before you actually become unhealthy, you have a lot of warning signs that people either just don't know about or maybe even purposely ignore. But I guess I would say the beginning of my journey started in 2017 when I was diagnosed with breast cancer, which was a huge shock, really coming out of left field. I was 49, which is young for that. I mean, there's never a good time to hear you have cancer. But, you know, I still had a kid in school, and it was just kind of a shock. So that was basically a year out of your life that you just write off. You have surgery, treatment, chemo, radiation, whole nine yards. And I mean, I'm at this point, 6-7 years cancer free, although, not sure about cancer-free, but that's another subject for another day. But so that was probably initially how it got started. But I wouldn't say that was the actually beginning of my health journey, which that's kind of shocking because most people are like, oh, you get cancer, and then they start radically changing their lifestyle. But I didn't. And I would say that's probably because you just want – once the cancer treatment is over – you just want to think you can go back to normal. You just want life to be like it was, and it's not. If you know, and I mean, I'm sure anyone listening knows someone, a friend, a family member, whatever, that's had cancer. That's how common it is. But if you were to ask them, there's life before cancer and there's life after cancer, and it's not the same. But I would say that's kind of the beginning of the journey. And then regular checkup, going to see my oncologist, my liver markers were off the charts. So, long story short, too late. Got to the point where had the testing and found out I had fatty liver disease. And I had one doctor tell me fatty liver, and then I had another doctor tell me I had NASH, which is kind of like the next level progression of fatty liver disease. And basically got zero help because the medical establishment's answer is just kind of like, oh, well, everybody's got it or a lot of people have it. So, I mean, I don't feel bad about it or I don't really know what they're trying to say there. But it's almost like they want you to not feel bad about it rather than help you to get rid of it or try and give you advice to do better. Because all you get is, oh, we'll lose weight. That's what you get.
Sounds like we're bowing to the absurd, perhaps.
Maybe. But, and I think a lot of it is, okay, and so you get the advice to lose weight. And most people believe, and probably the doctors would tell you, that means eat less, exercise more. Which sounds like it would work, but it doesn't really. And it's really kind of poor advice for someone who is maybe overweight already and maybe has been doing those things and thinking they're doing the right things and not getting anywhere. So actually that was kind of my wake up call because I kind of freaked about the liver thing. And the reason for that is I have been told by an oncologist that if breast cancer returns, it doesn't come back in your breast. It comes back in your liver or your bones or your spleen or your brain. Okay? So that's a little bit more serious to me. So once I got that, I started, you know, investigating different things. I started walking. And I don't know exactly if you just want me to keep on with the story.
Keep going.
Okay. I started walking, and I will admit, and my husband could testify, not the biggest fan of walking. I complained about it, didn't want to do it, still think it's boring. But I legit try and do it every day except maybe Sunday. Yeah. Don't always accomplish it, but that's the goal. Well, I probably dropped 15 pounds just from walking before I ever changed my diet. And I'll just put a side note here. I've lost 40 pounds in the last year. So I probably dropped 15 just from starting walking. And for anybody out there, walking is like the cheapest thing you can do to affect your health. It's absolutely zero investment. I would suggest getting a cheap thing to mark your steps. Don't have to get an Apple Watch. It doesn't have to be that involved. I think I paid $40 for mine. And that's all it does is track my steps. And the reason why I say that's important is because everybody thinks they're walking more than they are. And even if you've got kids and you chase kids all day long, you think you're getting enough exercise, you're not. And I aim for 10,000 steps a day. I didn't do that in the beginning. I was lucky to get down to the end of my block and back one time because I wasn't used to it. But now it's not a problem. And for me now, walking is just something you do. Like you would brush your teeth every night. You need to walk because your body's meant to move. It is not meant to sit. Use it or lose it is a thing. So anyway, I started walking, and then probably about that first of the year, I decided it was time to look at my diet. And I looked at a lot of different things and saw some different doctors and probably spent some money that was wasted and, you know, did a very different things. And first, you know, decided to go paleo and then decided to, you know, change that up to maybe keto. And I would say probably now I do a keto, I don't know if you want to call it ketovore, but meat, animal protein centered diet now. minimal, well, on a regular basis, no sugar, no grains, low carb. I really do believe if everyone in America just went low carb, a lot of problems would be solved, because your food is 90% of your battle. We're all eating the standard American diet, a sad diet that's killing us, that is causing all these problems that you don't know about unless you get your blood work done. Okay? That's the only way you know. And even then, you have to know what your blood work should say. You can't just rely on your doctor when he comes in and he says, all these look fine. And you just say, okay, doc, thanks. And then you go on about your merry way, and you're still 50 pounds overweight, and you feel miserable, and you have no energy, and you have tingling in your hands and feet, and you have headaches all the time, or you have pain, joint pain all the time, or you have zero energy even though you've slept for 8 hours. Something's wrong.
Are there key tests, say the top three tests that normally don't get done that you feel are necessary?
Yes. Everyone needs to know your fasting insulin. Okay. Now, if you go to the doctor, all they're doing is giving you an A1C value. Everyone's heard of A1C. It's all over TV. It's all over the weight loss shot commercials about controlling your A1C.
And they've lowered the bad range on that, correct?
They've raised it. So, And this is the problem with ranges. When a doctor, first of all, doctors, God bless them, if you don't know it, they get zero training in nutrition. Now, that may be a little shocking, but it's the truth. Or I would say if they do happen to go to a medical school that trains them in nutrition, they maybe get 3 hours, like a coursework. If you're seeing a functional doctor, you're probably getting more for your money, because they're trained in kind of like the whole, look at the whole person. But back to a regular doctor, regular doctors are trained to medicate. So to them, everything, you know, the saying, to a hammer, everything's a nail. That's kind of the way it is. When you go into the doctor, you have a symptom, all they know is a pill for that symptom. They want to treat your symptom. They're not looking at necessarily all your symptoms. But back to the blood work. If you fall within a range, that's all they check. Okay. So if you're in a range, and I'll use thyroid as an example, because so many women, you know, you're in range for your thyroid, but you still feel awful. You still have all these symptoms, okay? Then what does it mean if you're in the range if you still feel awful? The doctor should be treating to the patient, not the range. The other thing about a range is if you have a range and the doctor comes in and says, okay, you're in range, you're fine, everything's normal. You know, that's the classic. They're looking for normal. But you're being compared in a pool, say, of a, you know, however many other people in America who are just sicker than you are. So to those people, compared to those people, you look fine or you look normal when you're just less sick than they are.
So the pool itself is getting sicker and you're being compared to that.
Correct. So the pool is, you're not being, I think this is the biggest shock that people would be surprised at. When you go to your doctor and you get your blood work, he's not comparing your test to the optimal score for a human being, for a human being's optimal function. Your A1C should be X. He's not doing that. He's comparing you in the pool of all other Americans who are the sickest people on the planet, frankly. anyone who is any just basic paying attention knows we have an epidemic of diabetes in this country. We have an epidemic of obesity in this country. We have an epidemic of cardiovascular disease. Everything just, they keep getting better, not worse. I mean, keep getting worse, not better. And it's, so you're being compared with all those people who are already sick. Your doctor is not looking at your chart and saying, okay, I know that 70, I'm going to use example for vitamin D. I know that a human should have at least your score for vitamin D for optimal function should be 75 to 100. What he does is the range is 30 to 100. So if you get a 30, you never hear you have low vitamin D. But 30 is not optimal for a human to function without. And I'm not saying you'll die, but I'm saying for optimal human function, to feel well, to have energy, to not be sick all the time. Okay? That's what you're looking for. That's the goal. But it, so you're not going to get that if it's 30. So why are they telling you your range is, you're okay, you're normal? And what, to further on the example of vitamin D, if you go to the doctor and your vitamin D is low, they don't say, oh, your vitamin D is low, I need you to start taking some extra vitamin D and get your score up. They say, oh, don't worry about that. Everyone else in America's vitamin D is low too. So you're just supposed to be okay with it?
Well, I can tell you, my rheumatologist said that very statement, but his was an alarming message. Everyone's too low. Mm-hmm. And he immediately took care of my issue promptly because he treated it. This is 2007. So back then, it was important to him. And he's Persian, and typically this issue only happens with people in America. And sure enough, when he moved here, he became vitamin D deficient for whatever reason. So it seems to be geographic, not necessarily ancestral related. So fasting insulin is one important one.
Yes.
How about another one?
Did I talk about that? Did I mention it? I didn't, I don't think.
But your liver numbers were important.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was just kind of, you usually do get regular liver function when you get your regular blood work. It's a standard, it's probably on the CBC differential, which most people, if you go to your doctor, if you go to your, I think they're called internists, you know, your primary.
General practitioner.
Your
whatever.
Primary, if you go once a year, they'll probably run that. I would also argue, would say that just from the outset right here, if you, because I don't want to forget it, it's important. If you go to a doctor and you ask for a test and he says no, or he wants to argue with you about it, you need to get another doctor. Because one, he shouldn't take it personally. He should be willing to explain to you his position. Like if he feels like you don't need it, he should be able to articulate why, or without getting upset or without getting angry or without getting offended. And then at the end of that conversation, if you still want the test, he should give it to you. Because after all, you're the one that's got the skin in the game, not him. He's treating you that day, and he's going to go home to his wife and kids, God bless him, and he's not going to think about you anymore. But if you don't have the information you need to decide whether you're sick or healthy or somewhere in between, you're the one that pays. So you have the right to question your doctor. Now, don't be a jerk about it. You know, my rule is you be nice until it's time to not be nice. But you don't have to be a jerk about it. But he should be your partner. He's not your boss.
Right.
And you don't have to do anything he says. For instance, if he gives you a prescription and wants you to take it at statins, which is a conversation for another day, just because he says it doesn't mean you have to take it. You're responsible for you, and you're going to pay the consequences. So you need to do the research and find out if that's a smart thing for you to do or not. So fasting insulin is crucial, and fasting insulin is a test that doctors are not giving on a regular basis. I have my own theory about that. Because to anybody listening in the audience who's a diabetic, you don't get diagnosed with diabetes until your A1C starts going up.
We're talking type 2 onset.
Correct. But if you have a fasting insulin figure, you can see that your insulin is out of control years. And I'm talking sometimes 20 years, 30 years before your A1C starts to climb. And the problem with that is if you have high insulin on a regular basis, which is why you get the fasting insulin, if you have high insulin and don't do something about it, you will get diabetes type 2. Now, I mean, there's no question, you will. The good news about that is, though, it's absolutely 100% controllable, reversible. I know that's a big-time word to say you can reverse type 2 diabetes, but you can't. It's 100% a lifestyle choice. And I say that as someone who is coming from being diagnosed pre-diabetic. And I refuse. I come from a long line of diabetics in my family. And it's a learned behavior because you learn how to eat, what to eat, how you're raised. And it's a 100% controllable, reversible condition.
During your pregnancy, you had some gestational diabetes, and you were saying that that is a good hint for the women in our audience that you might be susceptible to very future issues.
Yeah, I would say you will be if you don't change your diet.
And all the more reason then to get the tests early on in life so you can act accordingly and live a longer and healthier life.
Right. And what frequently happens when women are pregnant, they get diagnosed with gestational diabetes, or they'll say, oh, you got to watch it, you're right on the edge, you know. And then, you know, for a lot of people, the treatment then is, and this is what is kind of amusing, it's not the right word, ironic, I guess, maybe. They'll tell women to control their sugar intake while they're pregnant, if they're developing gestational diabetes, or if they're, the glucose test that you take when you're pregnant is off. So the very thing they tell you to do when you're pregnant to control your sugar is not what they tell you to do when you're not pregnant and still need to control your sugar. If it works when you're pregnant, it works when you're not pregnant to control your sugar. But the typical treatment is you watch your diet when you're pregnant, then once you have the baby, you can go back to eating like you were. And that's what everyone does. But that doesn't solve your problem.
Cool. So if your general practitioner refuses tests, give us an alternative way of getting the test that you need.
Well, I actually had one more test. We wanted three tests.
Number three.
Okay. Get your HOMA-IR tested.
Tell us about that.
Because that is a marker for inflammation in your body. It's not a regular test.
Inflammation is a big problem that most people don't notice, isn't it?
Correct. And inflammation drives a lot of problems in your body. I mean, blood sugar is a big one because your high insulin, which you get high insulin from high sugar in your body, and that's not just sweets, it's starches. Okay, that's for another day. But you get high blood sugar, so that's a problem, and high insulin, and that's a root cause of all the big diseases, okay? But so is inflammation. And you can get inflammation in your body from a lot of things, but you don't know you have it if you don't get a HOMA-IR test. And that's not a standard test. You'll have to ask for it. And inflammation can be caused from a lot of things. You can get inflammation from high blood sugar. You get inflammation when you eat seed oils. And that's every seed oils are like soybean oil, canola oil, palm oil, rapeseed oil, all that garbage oil that we've been sold as vegetable oil. So it must be healthy because it's a vegetable. It's not. That's a whole nother topic. But that causes inflammation in your body. And inflammation over time impacts your body. Like for anyone who has joint problems, rheumatoid arthritis, inflammation is a big thing. The more inflammation you have, the more your joints are going to hurt. So get the home IR test. That's the place for you to start. If it's your numbers are high, you know you need to change some. I do have one more test that this is actually in a regular blood work panel, but they don't look at it the way they should. So when you get your triglycerides run, and that's in a regular lipid panel. You'll get your cholesterol, your HDL, your LDL, and your triglycerides, okay? You need to take your ratio of triglycerides over HDL, okay? If it's under 2, great. Whatever you're doing's working, keep at it. Because you want to try and get it under 1, but we'll take under 2. But most people are off the chart. Because if you're eating a standard American diet, your triglycerides are probably way high. And that is another marker for your health.
Is there a growing number of doctors who are creating and following this advice?
I mean, they're out there. You have to look for them. One good thing that has come about in the last few years is you can get your own blood work tested. You don't have to wait for a doctor. Okay? You don't have to have his little piece of paper that says
just have whatever to pay test. For it, right?
You just have to pay for it. Okay? And I know some people, you want your insurance to pay for it, and I get all that. But $100 is a small price to pay to find out exactly where you are standing currently. And there's different ones out there. You just go online, you order your tests. One is ownyourownlabs.com. Right.
That's the one I went to, I believe.
And there's other ones out there. I'm blanking on that second one that's out there, but they're out there. If you go to Google and you plug in get my own lab work or, something like that, I'm sure they'll come up. I like Own Your Own Labs because the guy who runs that, he really believes that people should have access to whatever tests they want. And they literally don't make any money off the test. They just charge enough for that to keep it running. They don't make any profit of it. So you pick whatever test you want, and there's a multitude of tests. You can get the CBC panel, you can get liver, you can get heart, you can get mold allergy, any kind of allergy. You could, pick whatever you want. There's many to choose from.
Well, we're out of time for this episode. It sounds like this should be a number 2 episode because you have so much to say. I want to thank you for being so explicit and helping people take in charge of their own lab work and their own health. Hopefully the young folks of the world will take heed, and even though they're perfectly healthy or seem so, they'll get ahead of the game and live a nice long life. So thanks for that. Archives of this broadcast are available on our website at t42.am. If you have a comment about this episode, please send an email to radioshow@t42.am or mail a note to Transmitter 42, P.O. Box 100, Remington, Virginia, 22734. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
Transmitter 42.